Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning and welcome to Talking Horses. Great to have your company. This week, Geelong Racecourse played host to some meaningful winners from a breeding perspective. Rosemont Studs' heavy investment in a blue blood from the New Zealand sales paid off. And on Friday, Black Caviar's daughter broke through for her first win at only her second start. Ossietra's win was impressive, and while she might never emulate her famous mum, she's on her way to more wins, and that's a big relief to her band of owners, including Neil Werrett, our first guest on the program.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
It's been a big week for Rosemont Stud. Anthony Mithen joining us on the program this morning. How are you, Mitho?
Great, Kelly. How are you?
Very well. You must be very pleased with the results on the track in both Victoria and New South Wales this week.
Yeah, it has been a big week. It's nice when you get rewards like that and see the colours flash past the post first. And a lot of time and effort goes into everything about this business, but particularly getting winners. And we had a nice filly win at Geelong, only a maiden, but it was on Peter Moody's advice that we steer clear of the city tracks and stakes level early in her prep and just pop her maiden out of the way, which is very much Peter Moody's style, and being our racing manager these days, we listen intently to him, and it was great that Troy and Leon took the advice, and down we went to Geelong and got the maiden off in good style. So she's entered for the 1,000 guineas as a long range high end goal, but being from that beautiful Diamonds family, that New Zealand Diamonds family of Trista Love and Octagonal, and the one of the best New Zealand families in the stud book. She'll be a valuable mare for us one day, and hopefully with black type against her name. So that was exciting, and a nice winner in Sydney with Gay Waterhouse, the horse that we bred, and he's a half brother to two Group One winning Oaks winning fillies. So for him to win over 1,500 in town, early in his three-year-old season was a great effort. So his name's Runaway, and long-term goal, maybe a spring champion in October, but plenty of water to go under the bridge.
True Excelsior, the filly that won at Geelong, is by Exceed and Excel, and she was a $450,000 New Zealand Bloodstock Premier Sale purchase from the Cambridge Stud Draft, obviously. It goes to show when they win for you early that it's worthwhile investing at that level in trying to improve your broodmare band.
You're dead right, Joe. It's interesting that you should say that, because it was a heart-stopping moment to hold the final bid at $450,000. Myself and my brother-in-law, who's my partner in Rosemont, did hold our breath, and I had to ring him. I was at the sale, and I rang him after. I said, "We got that filly. What did we pay? $450. Did you say $450? Yeah. We had to pay $450. But anyway, he's very pragmatic about these things, as I am, and said, "Look, we're going to have her forever. You know, so you pay that for the horse that you're going to have forever and breed 10 foals out of, and she becomes a mini business within a business, a filly with a pedigree like that." So you hold your breath now that she can perhaps get to stakes grade, and it becomes a whole lot easier to trade your way out of that sort of a price tag, not to mention the prize money. But ultimately, you're adding those rare diamonds out of special diamond, pardon the pun, to your broodmare collection as a yearling, and you get the fun of racing them on the way through. So hopefully we can have a lot of fun with her for the next 12, 18 months, and she joins the broodmare band as a very well-bred Exceed and Excel filly off a great farm like Cambridge Stud.
Can see why you were attracted to her as a yearling. She was a classic-looking type and very typical of that family, Mitho.
She was, yeah, and look, she's a big filly, and Exceed and Excel, I can get them smaller and sharper, but she looked like a filly that might, just through her strength and her size and her precocity, get to the races at two, which she did. She was placed a couple of times in town from two starts at two. But long term, looking at her as a whole, you thought, well, she's going to be just a beautiful mile three-year-old filly. And there happened to be a couple of nice races over a mile for three-year-old fillies. So we're off on a nice step this preparation. It was a Wednesday maiden, but Black Caviar's little daughter won a maiden at Geelong during the week as well. So you never know. From small things, big things can grow.
That's a great Paul Kelly song, we thought.
Back in the day, looking
yeah,
at
that's
the bridge
right.
to the MCG, Joey. What were you doing sports reporters at Channel 10 in the 10 days?
That's correct. It only feels like yesterday.
It does. Yeah.
But, yeah, Geelong, such a happy hunting ground for high-class fillies this week, of course, with the daughter of Black Caviar winning on Friday. So, overall, how are the rest of the racing stock going, Mitho, at the moment for Rosemont?
Yeah, good. We've got a nice team assembled. We've got some really good trainers on board, and most of those trainers have supported our operation, which is great. It's a great industry for that. If people sort of are supporting you, you support them back, and you get the opportunity to do that. And I suppose coming from that bit of a football background, I'm a bit of a rah-rah footy sort of bloke, I reckon, and it's nice to do it as a team. So we're getting a really good team together of people, and be it trainers, and Mark Young does a great job with our pre-training operation, and it's from the Spelling Farm. Olivia Blaine's come on board from New Zealand. She was one of Murray Baker's senior people in New Zealand, and she's come to run the Spelling Farm and doing an awesome job and dealing directly with those trainers that are training for us, and as well as the clients that are spelling with us, and it sort of seems to be coming together really nicely. We've put our toe in the water with Gay Waterhouse, and she's probably got 10 in work for us, bits and pieces of 10, and we've given her a couple of fillies that we wanted to retain to race, and we've had a bit of luck with Gay over the last 12 months with Speed Streak coming out and winning that rich race at Bendigo, the $250,000 gold nugget, and he's on track for maybe a Caulfield Guineas preparation this time in, and trialled quite well during the week, and Runaway, wins in Sydney and heads to a spring stakes at Newcastle and into a spring champion. So, and she's terrific. She spells everything in Victoria with us, and we've got a great rapport now with Mark Young and her. They're probably a bit the odd couple for those that know Mark. He's no nonsense, man of few words, just a real horseman. But they get along really well and communicate really well to get the best out of each and every horse. So I suppose if you get those processes right, the rest will take care of itself, Joe. So we're hopeful that Super Hayes, who ran a nice race yesterday, he's headed towards cup sort of races, and we can race him on as a gelding. He's a lovely horse to have a few people in with and race with mates and try and win a cup's race somewhere, be it the Mortlake Cup or the Melbourne Cup at some stage. Who cares? It'd be nice to do. So and some nice fillies coming through that are sprinkled around. Kieran Ma rang me during the week and said, look, you've got a nice Star Spangled Banner here that I'm really, really liking the look of. It's just turned three. So, we are racing a lot more horses now, Joe. So it has to bubble up to the surface, and we've got to win some nice races. And so the pressure's on a bit. But I just sort of got a feeling, a little bit like my feeling about the Tigers. I reckon we can go all right.
There's always hope. And I think it's proved a masterstroke to getting Moods on board to help you with the placement of these horses as well.
It really has. You know, we had a great day yesterday, actually, with a few of our trainer friends and Moods down at Kidinga Park at the footy. And he's really invested in what we're doing. And it's been quite an interesting sort of 6 months or so with Moods coming on board, just to see, I think, the light bulb going off for him that, hey, these guys are serious. This is a serious operation. They've got Rosemont own 140 mares. We've got 3,500 acres. We've got our own pre-training set up. We've got our own spelling farm that I say is unrivaled in at least Victoria. We've got a breeding farm that is to die for. Suddenly there's a bit of a light bulb moment where he went, gee, these boys are having a real go. So, we're exposed in terms of our ownership to around 100 racehorses throughout Australia. And you go from small percentages all the way through to 100. So it's a big operation. And to have a guy with his intellect and smarts And the best thing, Joe, is the relationship he's got with those trainers. They respect him unbelievably, and they listen to him, and he's got some just pearls of wisdom for them that give them the confidence to go and do a good job. And usually it's no fuss, but it's right on the money. So he's been really good for us, and I think he's enjoying that sort of team spirit that we offer as well.
Mm, nice to be able to direct a bit of traffic but not have to get up at 3 a.m. to do it.
Yeah, I think he's enjoying that as well. Although he did say to me yesterday, he rang me at 9:30 and said, good afternoon. I said, you can't get out of the habit of getting up early, can you? So,
no.
But it's going really well.
And you invested, of course, in Tarzino, who will stand his first season at stud at Westbury in New Zealand this year. And it was interesting to see a photograph that was posted of him on Twitter this week, a rather dramatic photograph of him parading in front of some bloodstock people, rearing up in the air. So he looks ready to go.
It was that was the best photo I've ever taken on an iPhone, can I say. It was... I know I'm not being modest, but it was the best one I've taken, not the best one ever taken. It was, I couldn't believe it when I looked at my phone after I'd pressed the button and thought, did that really just happen? Did I really get that with Mick Price standing there underneath the horse and Sir Patrick Hogan and his Tarzino rearing up above them? It was a pretty good shot, if I do say so myself, but you know, occasionally you get lucky. So if anyone wants to go to our Rosemont Twitter handle, they can have a look at it there. But it was great to be over there to see him. He is a gorgeous horse, yeah, and he is all the deal, Tarzino. You know, with the added bonus that by Tavistock has done such a darn fine job at stud already and putting himself in the upper echelons of stallions in Australasia. So you combine Tavistock and Zabeel and you've got to have something, you know, going for you, I would have thought. Not to mention a Guineas win, a Derby win, and should have probably arguably won the Australian Guineas as well. He's a horse of high class. And the Kiwis, because, you know, things are pretty tough over there, they're letting people in for only 15,000 Kiwi. I reckon that's an absolute steal for a horse of his quality. So but we're really excited to be involved in him. We bought 30% to race before the Rose Hill Guineas when he won the Rose Hill Guineas, and we've retained all of that. Nigel and myself decided that we wanted as much exposure to that horse as possible. We made the hard but smart decision, I think. You know, we had to put ego to one side and say, while we do stand stallions, this horse is going to be best suited in New Zealand. With the Tavistock factor and the Zabeel factor combined, it was a no-brainer. And to find a partner like Westbury Stud was just awesome. Gary put his considerable weight behind the horse as well. He's sending 25 mares, we're sending 30, and they're high class. We bought 19 mares in Europe at the end of last year from a family of Hassili and beautiful Judmont families, and a lot of those mares have found their way to New Zealand to go to him. And we are taking it very, very seriously, despite the fact he's not standing with us. I'm definitely viewing that Rosemont do have a first season stallion. It just so happens that he's standing in conjunction with Westbury in New Zealand to give that horse the very best commercial chance. So really excited about him. And I could not believe how good he looked when he was rearing up above Mick Price and Patrick Hogan. So, yeah, very excited if you hadn't already guessed.
No, that's great news. So I would imagine the take-up rate for him was strong this season.
Yes, yeah, he's got 130 mares booked at the moment. We had a meeting about him on Thursday over there with the good team at Westbury, and they're going to sort of cap him around that 150 and just see how it goes. First-season stallions, you've got to be a little careful and see what they're up for, but he's a very masculine, very dominant sort of horse, so we suspect that libido will be high and 150 shouldn't be too much of a problem. But if you're thinking about him, you wouldn't want to think too much longer. I'd be giving Westbury a call and getting yourself locked in. So he'll be a really exciting prospect for the New Zealand market.
And back in Victoria, of course, at Rosemont, you're standing Nostradamus, Starcraft and Toorak Toff.
Yeah, and it's a good little team. It's a budget team, to be fair. We haven't got any of the big wheelers, but we are catering for those that are working off a budget. And I think Nostradamus is a great value bet, particularly only seen three or four so far, but they are peas in a pod, and they have strength and swagger about them. They are really nice foals. I know everyone says it, and so people will be taking all this with a grain of salt right now, but I'd encourage people to get out and have a look at them. We'll be active with some publicity shots coming up, so take a very careful eye on them, because at 8,000, which, you know, if you're in before the season, there'll be a bit, little discount. He's a terrific horse, being a son of Medaglia d'Oro, a fast horse himself, a one-time Golden Slipper winner, and not to mention a half-brother to a little stallion that's going all right in Star Witness at the moment. So you throw all that blood together, and at that sort of price, I'd defy there's a better value stallion than Nostradamus, certainly in Victoria. He got the most mares last year of any first-season stallion in Victoria, so you've got confidence that there's a big crop coming through behind you to get out there and run for you if you're thinking about playing in that second season market and getting the lot. They look precocious and fast, and he was, and he was a good two-year-old winner himself, and I think you'd be really clever to be breeding yourself a second crop Nostradamus and watch that first crop come out running and look like the real smarty that gets all the cream. So we're really excited about him. We bought out Starcraft earlier in the year, and they're offering a fairly spectacular deal that's reinvigorated Starcraft and got him back on the map with breeders, which I'm really delighted about, because he deserves to be a 100-mare stallion, I reckon, and that's what he's looking at this year with the Toss the Boss deal, which is $8,000 is his service fee, and we're fixed on that. But the catch is that you get to, you only pay for what you want, and if you want a colt, and you get a colt, you pay the $8,000. If you want a colt and you get a filly, you don't pay anything. And vice versa. If you're looking for a filly and you get a filly, you pay. If you get a colt and you're wanting a filly, you don't pay. So it's a bit of a novel deal, but it certainly sparked people's interest, because, after all, we're all punters in this game, aren't we? So breeders, people who the owners and the punters themselves in the TAB, they... we're all natural-born punters, so people are liking that punt, and his book's going very nicely, building through mid-80s, and we'll easily get to 100, which we're very excited about. So that deal's going to stand until September, Joe, so anyone thinking about Starcraft probably wants to give us a ring ASAP to make sure they're locked and loaded for that. So, and Turo Costa, good job. We're happy with him. He's getting his winners. He's a lovely, relaxed sort of horse that's throwing that temperament into his horses, and his winning strike rate is excellent compared on a comparable basis, and he just needs that big horse, and we're not unaware of that at Rosemont, and as a result we're letting people on at a ridiculously low rate. So anyone who's looking at a real budget option to a Toff, and you just want to breed a winner, race a winner, breed the race, I mean, he's a great option this year, because next year if he does get that big horse or two, that offer won't exist. So might be a year to have a think about him too.
Very good. Great to catch up with you, Mitho, and see all the success you're having both on the breeding and racing side for Rosemont.
Good on you, Joe. It's been a pleasure, and good luck to those embarking on breeding season 2017. It's a lot of hard work, and I wish everyone all the success.
Anthony Mithen from Rosemont.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
Adam Sangster joining us for Horse Bites this week. Morning, Adam.
Morning, Joe, and good morning to all your listeners.
It's been a good week. Americane getting a nice winner at Ipswich on Friday.
Yeah, that was a good win on Friday, I've got to say. It was a very timely win as well, because it's not only did she win up there, and the trainer was very bullish talking about future plans for her. I mean, Queen's Consort was, he's sort of suggesting the Queensland Oaks, but and it was a great win for the Harding family as well. Rob and June Harding are great supporters of Swetnam, and they're having a good run at the moment, and which is always good to see. And we've got the Americanes were pretty excited by them. I mean, he had his runners at the end of the two-year-old season, which has just concluded, as you know. I mean, he had such a good amount of runners. I mean, it was 16, 17 runners, I think, individuals. And the trainers were all just giving them runs and making sure that You know, they know what to do because they're good, intelligent horses, they say, and they keep on liking the work. And we've got I think we're going to have a very good three-year-old season. I mean, we've got, I know there's a number of breeders and owners and people who bought yearlings in the sales who are sort of targeting some pretty good middle-distance races, Joe. And he himself, on those figures as of last year, if you sort of compare to So You Think, they were exactly the same stage as So You Think was after his first year, but Americaine has had more runners. So we're quite pretty excited. And he's come back. He's arrived back from quarantine, and he looks magnificent. So, you know, he really does. So, you know, I do encourage people to make sure breeders do have at least they do breed to this horse. I mean, when I say it was timely, I mean, Jerry Ryan, the owner, with the Bamfords, had actually put up 5%, which actually turned into 10% at the great million-dollar lunch at Crown Casino. A very generous sort of supporter of charities of the Ryan family, as of the Bamfords, but put up a 5% share, which David Hayes has got. It was of a colt. I know that's going to the Derby. And basically, they sold that 5% share for $15,000, and also the underbidder got another 5% for $15,000. So valuing the horse at $300,000. But I know they're very keen on this horse, and David did call me up and said, listen, Adam, I've got a good one here. Sadly, it didn't run in that 1,800-meter two-year-old race at Flemington just before the end of the season, which Flemington had put on those great sort of those two-year-old races. But I know that horse is good. So good luck to those owners, and they deserve everything they get to them.
Okay, and we'll follow with interest the career of Queen Consort. Now she's got a win on the board, trained by John Zilke in Toowoomba, that filly, and the step up to the mile certainly suiting her on Friday, as it does all the Americanes, getting better with age and distance. And well, let's hope we see her lining up in the Queensland Oaks, Adam. That'd be a fantastic advertisement for the stallion here in Australia.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned the stallions having safely arrived on the show last week. Well, now they've had a week or so to settle in. And I was most interested to see some of the images that Swettenham Stud put up during the week of these magnificent horses. In particular, M. Shawish. He looks like an absolute beast.
Oh, he really is. And he's just, I mean, as Brian Gorman said, who hadn't seen it, he said, this horse is a serious horse. He said, the pictures don't do him justice. You know, from overseas, we've obviously taken some nice ones, and I spent a bit of time with the horse the other day, just having a pick around. And he's got a magnificent shoulder. He's 16 hands. He's a good size. You know, some of these medaglias can be quite big. He will throw 2-year-olds. And do you know what's happening in America, Joe? Is that M. Shawish was the fastest son of Medaglia d'Or over a mile. And his counterpart was a horse called Violence, who's actually got 2-year-olds on the ground at the moment racing in North America. And I spoke to Taylor Made the other day because I need to bring the horse M. Shawish down to Inglis's on the 25th of August for a stallion parade there, first season. So I need to get permission. But they said to me that this stallion, Violence, who's the first son of Medaglia d'Or to go to stud in the world and North America, is just absolutely caning it. I mean, he's had a number of 2-year-old winners, and this horse, M. Shawish, was faster than Violence, and they're pretty excited by that, and you could tell in their voice. And I've had a look at the figures, and we've got very high hopes for M. Shawish, and that's the state of anybody who wants to come and have a look at this great stallion and all our other ones. We've got stallion parades on the 20th Sunday, today week, and the 27th and the 3rd as well. So it's a great thing, and we've got the chocolate parade as well on Sunday. Chocolate festival as well on Sunday week. So it's good.
How are the preparations going? You've been doing plenty of baking, Adam.
Well, I've been down to Paran Market and getting all the salumi cut. So we've got six different types of lovely cut salumi cuts, and some prawns and some beautiful soup. And, you know, then people can go and enjoy themselves over at Mitchelton at the Ministry of Chocolate sort of festival over the weekend there. So it's good. No, we're very happy there. And Toronado looks great. He's come back magnificently. So he's matured. And now we're happy there. But, it's all good.
How many people would you be expecting to your first parade next Sunday?
Oh, good numbers, good numbers. And, you know, it's funny, some do phone up and say they want to see the Grey, want to see, they all have different people want to see Rebel Dane, you know, Trust in the Gus is a favourite, but so also it's interesting about the Greys as well.
Yeah, he's always captured people's imaginations, Puissance de Lune, hasn't he?
He has, and he's, I mean, Sam Adal is absolutely nailing it in the Northern Hemisphere. He's doing a brilliant job in Hong Kong with Pakistan Star. He's being, Sam Adal's the Tsar of Tsars. He's now become taking over Ross from there of becoming a great broodmare Tsar. And down here, you saw some great sort of great individuals being sold at the weanling sale here in Melbourne. I mean, David Gabdi, a great judge, bought one from the Gilguy's family, paid $85,000, I think. There were others there which were well sought after. I mean, funny enough, on that sale on the 25th of August, sadly for the estate of Michael Nile, we're having to put through for his estate all of his breeding stock, and well worth coming to have a look at those because there's some great individuals by Puissance. And, you know, Dean Lester told me a story about Puissance. I mean, I always tell people that on the morning of the race when they stepped into the barriers at the Cox Plate, Puissance was the favourite, but there was a bit of doom and gloom in the camp because what he'd created in the morning, he had this ingrown hair on his wither where they put the saddle, and Dean said he saw Darren Weir that day and he was so crestfallen because he'd just got beaten in the Turnbull. He wasn't 100% fit there. Happy Trails beat him, and going into the Cox Plate, they were so confident, but the morning of race, they couldn't administer anything to this ingrown hair. And of course, he didn't run a drum, and Happy Trails just got beaten in that race. And this horse would have probably, who knows, could have gone a lot closer than he did with an ingrown hair. He still ran pretty well. And, you know, he is a magnificent looking individual, and his pedigree is, you know, it drips with blue blood.
Yeah, it certainly does. Adam, thanks for joining us this week, and all the best of luck for the big parade next Sunday. Of course, we'll be talking to you just ahead of that, but no doubt the phone will be ringing hot this week with people wanting to get their spot there.
Good stuff. That's great, Joe. Thanks for that. And anybody who wants to come up, just look at our website, sweatnam.com.au, and come and join us.
That's Adam Sangster with Horsefire. It was a significant day at Geelong on Friday, and it was not only significant for the Australian racing public, but for Neil Werrett, the owner of Ossietra, the daughter of Black Caviar, breaking through at only her second start for her first career win. Neil joins us on Talking Horses this morning. Hi, Neil.
Good to talk to you.
That must be a relief to have that out of the way.
Yes, yeah. I mean, Ossietra race. On New Year's Day down the straight at Flemington, and she did a great job coming third to a couple of very nice horses, and I think the build up to that was a long build up for that. She then went out in the paddock since New Year's Day, and her first start was on Friday, and you know, it's been a long wait. David's done a great job to bring her back, and all the owners were very excited yesterday, and so too was David. I think a very relieved trainer.
She's developed a lot since we saw her that day at Flemington on January 1, and I think that time since then that she's had to develop and grow and improve mentally has made all the difference. Placing her with someone like David Hayes was such a key move, wasn't it, Neil?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, Peter is not able, or was given up training or retired from training at present. And we always wanted to keep Black Caviar's progeny racing in Victoria. And David's got a very good setup at Euroa, and it was a major decision, and David and Tom and Ben are, you know, are really good trainers, particularly of fillies, and they've, you know, it was proven this year with their fillies, they've probably had the best lot of fillies in Australia to train, and we were very excited that David was willing to train her, and he's done an amazing job.
And he has the experience to deal with the pressure that inevitably goes with training a horse of this sort of profile.
Yes, that's correct. It has been a fair bit of pressure on him, not from the owners, I must say. We just let him go and let her develop. But you know, as you can see in the media, she has a fair bit of following already. And we just hope that she can continue to develop into a nice filly. She's never going to be anything like a mum, and she's a totally different physique. But she's very speedy, and she flies the barrier, as you probably saw at Geelong. The intention was not to lead, but she came out so quick that Reagan had no option but to lead.
She won by just under 2 lengths and going away from them. It was a dominant victory after leading all the way. She's a lovely actioned horse, Neil.
Yeah, she's very small, though, which has always been my concern and the other owner's concern. But she's a bit of a flying machine, which you probably expect from an Exceeding Excel as well. You know, how she develops in the autumn of next year, because she's still developing, will be interesting to see. But David's got a fairly conservative program set out, which he's going to finalise over the next week. But there's a couple of nice, you know, listed fillies races coming up in end of September and October that he's going to aim her at.
He did indicate after the race in a post-race interview on racing.com that he felt she is a black-type winner of the future, potentially.
Yeah, well, we hope so. But you wouldn't want to put her at this stage of her career against some of the, you know, stronger fillies and colts. So he'll just look after her over the next few months, and hopefully then there are a couple of listed and a Group 3 race coming up over the carnival, so we'll look at David was going to look at those and plan an attack. But he's going to, I think the whole idea was to get the win out of the way on Friday, and he had that planned for 6 weeks, so he's now putting in action the rest of his program for her.
And it added a bit of an excitement to a Friday afternoon meeting at Geelong. Quite a lot of people went out to the course just to catch a glimpse of her, including you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, most of the owners were there. Unfortunately, four of them were overseas, but Colin and Janine and David and Jill, we were all out there, and all the family. So, it was a good day, and it was just good to get a win on the board, we're looking forward to her next start and also the rest of her progeny coming through.
Mm. And what news of Mum Black Caviar? She's in foal to More Than Ready and is due to foal late September. No doubt looking forward to that.
Yes, yeah, it's always great excitement when she comes up to deliver her foals, and looking forward to it. The Schnitzel filly is developing well up around Scone, and she's really developing into a nice filly. When she'll go get broken in next January, February, and the colt, the Sebring colt, is in pre-training and will come to Melbourne to go to the Hawks team. Probably in about 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's Prince of Caviar. What's been the impression the Hawks team have had of him so far?
Well, he went into the Hawks team about 6 weeks ago for a week, just doing trot and cantering. So there was no, it was just to give him a feel for the Rose Hill and the racing climate. He had a week there. He then went out for a spell, and he's put on, he's developed, grown. He's over 500 kilos now, and probably will end up, in about 16 one-hands, and about 520 kilos when he develops a bit further.
It's a big horse.
Yeah, it's a bit different to her. And he's a lot stronger physically, and but probably you won't have the initial, speed out of the barriers that the filly has.
Very different types of horses. And Neil, beyond Black Caviar and her progeny, you have many other racing interests. Run us through some of the horses that you've got coming up over the spring, and update us if you can, the likes of Galo Chop and Chauffeur.
Yeah, Galo Chop has had 12 months off, had a tendon injury, and was one of the, his last starts was winning the McKinnon, which was a really good run. He's been with Darren Weir. He'll start, I think he'll start in the Lawrence in a couple of weeks. So he's on track, and hopefully... reports continue to are very positive at this stage, so I'm looking forward to him coming back. Chauffeur's had two trials and trialled well, and he'll start in 2 weeks' time as well. So he's a very exciting horse, and as you probably know, in the autumn in Sydney, the weather was so wet and the tracks were so wet the whole autumn. I think you're going to find some of these horses that didn't handle it will come out in the spring, and there'll be a different form reversal, and I'm hoping that Chauffeur's one of those horses.
Okay. And you've got a horse called Risque as well, which is pretty handy.
Yes, she's with David and David Hayes and the team. She's coming back also from an injury, and her work's been great, and she'll start next Saturday at Caulfield, and her trials are very very impressive, so looking forward to her running.
And on Friday the filly Ossietra raced in the new set of colours, a variation from Black Caviar's, of course, the green with the black spots. Will her other progeny that you retain an interest in race in those colours also? Is that the plan for the future?
I think so. We haven't actually discussed that, but I would imagine so. But no, we've retired the Black Caviar silks, and no, they won't be worn by any of her progeny. I think the green, everyone quite likes the green with the black spots, so we'll probably keep those.
And they're winning colours now.
Yes, that's even more important.
Exactly. The monkey's off the back. Well, we'll follow her, as will the entire Australian racing public, with tremendous interest over the next couple of months. And fingers crossed she wins another race, or more than that, potentially gets you some black type. She demonstrated the capability of being able to do that at Geelong on Friday.
Yeah, no, we're looking forward to her racing in about 3 to 4 weeks' time, and David will surely put it his, and his team will put a good program in place for her. But we just, keep her running in her grades, and we don't want to, we just want to keep her developing over the next 6 to 12 months.
And one thing worthwhile noting too, Neil, is yours and that of the other owners' ability to be so giving to the media and to the public at all times. You've always been so obliging with interviews on the track and off the track, and for that we're very appreciative.
Oh, thanks, Jo. All the owners appreciate, the public's reaction to our Black Caviar and also to Ossietra, and I'm sure the progeny are going to do Mum proud.
What are your thoughts, just quickly, on Winx as she embarks on her return off a huge winning streak, going for a third Cox Plate this year? You can relate, I'm sure, a bit to that pressure.
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting having a horse like Winx run. It's certainly been, particularly for Sydney, it's been quite exciting being in Sydney with Winx and the public coming out and supporting her. She's an amazing horse, and we've been lucky enough to have a few really nice fillies over the or mares and fillies over the last few years. So I'm hoping that the Winx continues to win and keep Australian horsing at the forefront of the world.
Neil, thanks for joining us on Talking Horses. Lovely to catch up with you, and hopefully we'll be talking to you again in the not-too-distant future with another winning update on Ossietra in particular.
Thanks, Joe. Look forward to it.
Neil Werritt, one of the part owners of Ossietra, the daughter of Black Caviar, breaking through for her first career win at Geelong on Friday. The future looks exciting for her.
This podcast is brought to you by rsn.net.au.
And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. I do hope you enjoyed the program. Our special thanks to guests this week, Neil Werritt, Anthony Mithen, and Adam Sangster. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.